My title for this message or for this teaching is going to be Reality Check. Tap your neighbor and say, it's time to have a reality check. You know, oftentimes, and I'm preaching already, oftentimes in church, we really get to know sometimes the ways of God and the ways of church before we actually walk into what it really is and what it really means. You talk to people over in church and you ask them questions like, how you doing? And everybody be like, God is good, and he's good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? We learn all these lingo, and we learn all these things that we say that comes accustomed to us. But there is a point in time where what we've been saying, the reality is going to be checked. We'll walk around and we'll say that God is a healer and God is a deliverer and God can make a way out of no way. And it's easy to say that when everything in your life is going good. But when it's your mama that's sick, when it's your friend in the hospital, when it's your check that ain't come through, will that still be your report? Will that still be your testimony? So sometimes we have these reality checks. A reality check is something that clarifies or serves as a reminder of reality, often by correcting a misconception. That is what a reality check is. Let me give it to you my way. Can I give it to you my way? How many parents is in the house today? Yeah, parents. It's good to be a parent. And everybody told me, my wife, oh my God, you guys are gonna, oh, parenting is this and is that and it's all these different things. And then all of a sudden that baby came home and every 2 hours he woke up. Man. And I'm going to tell you that I was happy and I was excited and everybody spoke good about being a parent. But man, when that baby get to crying and every 2 hours and he ready to eat and he got all this going on, you'd be like, oh my God, maybe I should have waited a little while longer. Because the reality check comes of what really being a parent is. Or maybe let me give it to you this way. I've told y'all that I'm a police officer. I work for the Detroit Police Department. Going through the police academy by far was one of the toughest things that I ever had to endure. It was six months long. But at some point in the academy, everything that you do is simulation, right? It's not real. You're practicing or you're acting or you're doing these scenarios. And it's like at the end of the day, I know that this is practice, right? And, you know, and so I got real comfortable, got real confident in my skill sets and my abilities and all of those things. And then I remember the day that I had to get sprayed. If you don't know, part of passing the police academy is you got to do this crazy thing is where they spray OC spray, point blank range, right in your face. I mean, just is bad. I would have showed y'all the video, but my wife said it was a bad idea, so I'm not gonna show it. I think she get traumatized every time she see it or I talk about it. But anyway, so they take this spray, literally point blank range, and first they have you do all these push-ups, they have you run around the building, they do all this crazy stuff, and then you stand there and they spray you right in your eye, and at that moment, my reality was really checked. I said, why in the world did I decide to do this? Like, I was like, I had a cushion job. I was good. Like, why am I here? In that moment, I literally questioned, why in the world did I ever want to be a police officer? Why was I doing this? And what they did was they sprayed you. And then they do this thing where you got to acquire a target. So basically, you got to open your eyes with the stuff still in your eyes. And then they do this thing where you got to punch this bag and everything like that. And then they threw me on the ground and tried to take my gun. I mean, it was this dramatic process of everything. And the whole time I'm going through this, have you ever been in the pool before and almost drowned? Hey, I'm not the only one. I know how to swim, but sometimes you're like, you get a little too much water in. So that feeling of feeling like I couldn't breathe is what I was feeling. And I'm having to do all of this stuff all at the same time. That day, I almost was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm good. Because my reality was checked. I spent all of this time going in the academy, doing these things and everything. And then for that moment, it got real. And I had to make a decision. Am I going to keep on going through with this? Or is this something I ain't ready for? Right? So let me tell you about reality checks real quick. Number one, reality checks is God ordained. God will allow you to go through a season in your life or of experience, and everything is just, it's good, and everything is fine and dandy, and yeah, God is my source. And then he will set up a date or a period in time where your reality will be checked. So what I want you to know is that when we have these reality check moments or situations and circumstances, that God sometimes orchestrates them so that we, number one, can grow in our faith. So whenever sometimes we're in a challenging situation and our reality being checked, or we really have to live out the things that we've been saying, sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes it's God orchestrating this thing to grow us. Amen. The second thing that I want to let you know about reality checks is reality checks are pledges of our allegiance. It's pledges of our allegiance. In other words, when you are experiencing a reality check, in that moment, you have a decision to be made. In mine, in the police academy, I had to realize, hey, am I going to keep on going or am I going to quit this thing? But sometimes in life, it makes the differences. I've been saying and believing that God is a healer. Am I really going to believe that God is a healer? So whenever I experience a reality check in my life, it's an opportunity to pledge my allegiance back to God and say, God, I know I'm experiencing this, but that does not change who you are in my life. Because you are more than just a good, you real good. No, you actually are a healer. So reality checks is pledges of our allegiance. The next thing that I want to give you about reality checks is this. Reality checks are humbling reflections. Humbling reflections. What does that mean? Is that sometimes my reality gets checked, and I realize and recognize that it wasn't me, that actually it was God. And sometimes we can get so good at what we do. We can get so anointed at what we do that we'll forget that if God took breath out of our body right now, if God removed his hand right now, we'll fall dead. So sometimes reality checks come into play to humble us, to make us realize and recognize that we are not operating in our own might and our own strength, but it is in God who we move, operate, and have our being. Are y'all getting this? And finally, what I want to let you know about reality checks is that whenever you experience a reality check, it's always an opportunity to grow in faith. It's always an opportunity to grow in faith. You can say God is a healer all you want to, but when God actually heals you and you lay hold to that word that I was healed, and then God deliver you, that grows you in faith, and it gives you a boldness and a confidence that you didn't have, because now this thing is more than just something I say. I literally lived it. Reality checks are opportunities to grow in faith. Now open your Bible and let's go to Mark chapter 10. Now I'm going to read this in a Message Bible. I'm going to read two verses in your hearing. Mark 10, 20 and 21 and 22. I'm going to be reading this from the Message Bible. Because I love how it says. You can stand. You can stand. It's our custom to stand. We can stand real quick. I'm almost done. Mark 10 and 20 says this. But first, let me get you up to date real quick. So this guy, who the Bible calls this young, rich ruler, he comes to Jesus one day saying, hey, what do I need to do to be down with you? Like, listen, I've been seeing you doing your thing. I want to be one of those. I want to roll with you. What needs to happen for me to be able to roll with you? I want to be on your side. I want to be your disciples. I want to travel the world with you and preach and go do all these magnificent things. And this is what happened. So verse 20, he said, what do I need to do? Jesus told him, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments, you know, honor thy mother, honor thy father. And verse 20 is where we pick up right here. And he says, teacher, I have done all of these things for my youth. I've kept them all. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him hard in the eyes and loved him. He said, there's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give it to the poor. All your wealth will then be a heavenly wealth, and come and follow me. And verse 22, then the man's face clouded over. This was the last thing he expected to hear, and he walked off with a heavy heart. He was holding on tight to all of the things and not about to let go. Amen. Sit down. So, what happens in this story is you have this person who obviously has faith in God. So much so that he comes to Jesus and says, listen, what do I have to do to be down with you? I want to be one of your boys. I want to be in your camp. And what Jesus does is he first tells him, well, if you want to follow me, you have to keep the commandments. And proudly the boy says, I've done all of that. Matter of fact, I've done it since my youth. And then Jesus says, there's one more thing I need you to do. I need you to go and sell all that you have, give it all away, and then you can follow me. And then the boy said, well, you know what? I can't do it. And he walked away. So what I endeavor to do this morning is have a spiritual reality check. We've been screaming for the last 2 weeks that God is our source. Well, it's time for that reality to be checked. And so I'm going to take you through these several points of if God is truly your source, then this is what you got to have. Amen. Amen. So point number one, if God is your source, if he's really your source, if he's shown enough your source, you have to have number one, unwavering faith. Say it with me. Say unwavering faith. Now notice I didn't say faith. I said, what? Unwavering faith. Listen, the Bible, it says this. It says that we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So in any words, anytime I believe in something that I cannot feel physically see, I have faith. Have you ever met a Detroit Lions fan? Have you ever? Every year, we think, and I'm one of them, that this year is going to be different. Without any results, without anything, we just know and we just believe that it's going to be different, right? That's faith. And matter of fact, Romans 12 and 3, it says this. It says that God has given every man the measure of faith. So every human being that walks this earth that has breath in their body, atheist or not, has the ability to have faith in something. And this is why if God is your source, it's not enough to have faith because anybody can have that. You have to have unwavering faith. What is unwavering faith? Unwavering faith says it's an impossible situation, but it's okay because God's got me. Unwavering faith says the diagnosis says that I'm going to be dead in 3 days, or I'm going to be dead in a month, but I believe my God is able. Unwavering faith will go before you and it will not allow you to be moved. In other words, I'm standing on the word of God because my faith is just not faith, but guess what? It's unwavering faith. So if God is your source and you really believe that God is your source, it's not enough for you to have faith, but you got to have unwavering faith. And a good example of this unwavering faith in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham has a son that God promised him. And that very son that God promised him, God tells Abraham to go take him and to sacrifice him. Abraham never fell out with God. We see that earlier in Genesis that Abraham pleaded with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. He begged and pleaded with God. But when God told him to go and do something, he never questioned it. He just went to go do it. And let me paint this picture. We hear the Bible from Abraham's perspective, but what about the son's perspective? I know that we're going to go sacrifice. And daddy, I see the altar and I see the spear, but daddy, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham had to lay his son down on the altar, the son that God just had gave him, and was getting ready to sacrifice him. But thanks be to God, there was a ram over in the bush. So in this, Abraham's reality was checked. God, I said you can send me and I'll go. But how far are you willing to go? Are you willing to give up that thing that I asked you to give up? If I'm really your source. If Abraham would have found confidence in himself, he would have spared his son. He would have tried to find another way. But I would imagine with tears in his eyes, he holded up that spear and got ready to go. And God said, you know what? Don't even do it. It's right over there. But that is unwavering faith. That God is really so much that my source that I don't care how bleak the situation gets. I don't care how ugly it gets. I don't care how sick I get in my body. I don't care how overwhelmed or behind I get on my bills. If God said he was going to make a way, then guess what? God said he's going to make a way. So if we're going to scream from the mountaintop that God is our source, we got to have more than some faith. We got to have some unwavering faith. Unwavering faith. No matter what comes my way, no matter how I am challenged, I'm good because guess what? God is my source. Point number two, and I'm rushing along. Here, I see how much time I got left. Point number two is the location of your heart must be in God's hands. If God is your source, the location of your heart has to be in God's hands. Let me show you real quick. Location is everything. Say that. Say location. Is everything. Location is everything to the point where before major corporations and businesses decide to set up shop in a particular area or a space, they conduct all types of studies, like what's the average income in the household? Where do people like to shop in this area? What do people do in this area? They put all of that energy into where they decide to place their location, because what we know in business is that the location of your business could determine the success or if it fails. And our heart is just like that the same. If your heart is some other place, and if your heart is not in God's hands, chances are God is really not your source. Because something else is moving you. Something else is leading you. Something else has your mind, will, and emotions. And we know that the heart is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. So my question today is, where is your mind, will, and emotions? Is it really in God, or is it in your job? Is it really in God, but it's in the relationships that you have built around you? But if God is really your source, your heart has to be in God's hands. And a good test or a good reality check to see where our heart is found in scripture. Matthew 6 and 21, it says this. It says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. For wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart also. In other words, if I really want to know where your heart is, all I got to do is open up your Chase app and see where you spend your money. Have you been saying that God is your source, but you don't even pay your tithes? Have you been saying that God is your source and you spend more money at the Mac counter than you do in church? Have you been saying that God is your source, but you eat out more than you give? But if God is really your source, then your heart and your money is going to be in him. So that means I'm a tither. That means not only am I a tither, but I am a giver. Some of us are be so stingy. But you got to understand this. So if God is the only source, everything else is what? A resource. God wants to use us in the earth. That's why we come into this. And God wants to use us how? He wants us to be a gift. But God can't even use you to be a resource because you're so doggone stingy. He can't even use you to bless his people, because everything you get, you hold on to. And the interesting thing about this is that even in Matthew 6, we can see in this chapter, the Bible tells us not to lay up earthly treasures. Not lay up earthly treasures. Now, I'm not telling you don't save. I'm not telling you that you shouldn't have a 401k and a savings account. That's not what I'm telling you, because you need that. You have to have that. It has its part. But what you have to understand is that the 401k is not your source. You got to understand that even if your job lays you off today, guess what? God will get you another one tomorrow. So in other words, if God is really my source, I got to put my money where my mouth is. God is my source. And it's evident he's my source because I'm a tither, because I'm a giver. And because I'm a tither and I'm a giver, God always makes sure that I got something to give. Because the Bible that I read says that God gives seed to the what? To the sower. See, some of you trying to get more money by holding on to it, but I triple dog dare you to give some away. I triple dog dare you to pay it forward. I triple dog dare you to pay your tithes if you haven't already. And watch God bring super to your natural and multiply everything that you need. But I'm here to tell you today that if God is your source, It's time to put your money where your mouth is. The Bible says that money answers all things. Point number three. Moving right along. Point number three. If God is your source, you have to have a good signal. You got to have a good signal. Signal relates to connection. And in my mind, I see the guy. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? In other words, when the connection is good, I can hear you clearly. But more importantly, you can hear me clearly. So when we have good signal with God, we are able to talk to God and God is able to talk back to us. If God is your source, you got to have a prayer life. The only time you pray can't be when you blessing your food. The only time you pray can't be for traveling mercies. But I need to build my relationship and my connection with God, because when God is my source, there may be a way he want to lead me. There may be a way he want to guide me. But if I'm not in good connection with him, it may be a little hard to hear me. And that's why sometimes life gets hard for us, is because we really can't hear God like we're supposed to. The Bible says this, Amos chapter 3, verse number 7. It says that God does nothing in the earth without first revealing it to his prophet. So if God is doing anything in the earth, he's revealing it to somebody. And if I want to know how to move, how to operate, and how to have my being, and how to really live this thing of that God is truly my source, if I'm claiming that, I gotta have a connection with the source. I gotta have a connection with it. We see in scripture that the only thing the disciples asked Jesus to do was, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And in studying that, I said, Lord, why did this happen? They could have asked Jesus anything, but they asked him specifically. Oftentimes, if you read the Gospels in the Bible, it would say something like this. It would say that Jesus spent time in the morning, before the 2 hours before the sun come up, with God praying. So the disciples would see Jesus go off to go pray before the sun come up, leave prayer, come back, see a blind man, touch him, and he's healed. He'll see Jesus go pray up in the mountains for a period of time for 2-3 hours, come back, and then turn water into wine. In other words, Jesus, we got this thing all wrong. We got it all mixed up because we trying to cast out this devil and it ain't happening. And Jesus says some things only come by fasting and prayer. In other words, Jesus was showing them, and they saw that the true power of the Holy Ghost don't come from hollering and screaming and running and jumping, but it come from having a connection with the Father. And if God is your source, you got to be connected to him. And when you connected to him, he reveals things that he's going to do in the earth. And when you're connected to him, he'll show you which way to go. He'll show you what opportunity to take. He'll show you and reveal all things to you. If he's truly your source. Point number four is my last point that I want to give you in this reality check. Is God, if he's really your source, you got to trust him. Sometimes we think that faith and trust is the same thing. If faith and trust is the same thing, it would be two different words. It's different. You can have faith in God and not trust God. Let me show you. If my wife told me that she was at Bob's Furniture, and I called her and I said, honey, where you at? She said, I'm at Bob's Furniture. And I said, okay, well, I'm hungry. Do y'all know what's in the parking lot of Bob's Furniture? Y'all don't? Somebody said it. Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. So I didn't ask my wife to get me Chick-fil-A. But faith is, she's at Bob's Furniture. I've expressed that I'm hungry. She know I love Chick-fil-A. So she bring it home, Chick-fil-A. That's faith. I'm believing in what I don't know, what I don't see. I don't have any proof that she's going to stop at Chick-fil-A. But because she know what I like, I got faith that guess what? Kids, we having Chick-fil-A today. That's what faith is. Trust is different. Trust is, my wife comes home and there's no Chick-fil-A. And I say, oh, that's all right, baby. Whatever you got, I know it's going to be good. So, trust speaks to character and capacity. Trust is, even if it doesn't work out the way that I want it to, I'm good. Three Hebrew boys faced with adversity, faced to have to bow to some golden image. Faith said, I ain't doing it. I believe in God. You are not the one. Yeah. Not doing it. But trust said, if you throw me into the fire, my God is able to deliver me. He's capable of making sure that this experience, that whatever you do, I'm still gonna be all right. Faith allows us to believe, but trust allows us to sleep, to rest. Trust is, it's all a mess, but I'm going to bed. Because I seen him do it before, he's going to do it again. I don't know which way he coming. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I tell you one thing, God is my source. Stand to your feet all over the building. There is a time in our life, for some of us that may be today, where the reality of what you've been declaring, the reality of what you've been believing, will be checked. And I want you to know that when your reality is checked, it's God ordained. It's an opportunity to pledge your allegiance to Him. It's an opportunity to humble you before Him. And it's an opportunity to grow in faith. But some of us have walked away from God, have walked away from even the thing that we were believing God for, because the reality is, it takes more from me. But what I want you to know, that God can do anything, but whatever God decides to do, you will play a part in it. And I'm so grateful for this message to challenge our perspectives and to challenge the things that we've been saying and we've been believing. And my prayer today is that if you haven't, from this day forward, you have unwavering faith. That you will have a good connection, a good signal. And most of all, you will trust that come hell or high water, God is truly your source. And if there's anybody in the room today that's been struggling with that, I want you to know that the altar is open. For our prayer team is here to touch and agree with you, to restore you back to that place of God being your source. If you've been dependent on other sources, if you've been dependent on other ways, other avenues, it's time to put your trust in God and allow Him to be your source. The altar is open. You can come at any moment. And what I want to do is make the appeal today that if somebody's in the place and you don't know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, you've been trying to figure out life on your own, depending on your own might and your own strength, I'm here to tell you that God has a river that never runs dry. God said, I come that you have life and life more abundantly. That abundant life comes with God and God only as your source. If you in this room, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord, I give you my heart, my mind, will, and emotions. Say, I cancel out every source that I've been dependent on. And I state today, and I declare and decree today, that you are my source. And I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. And I want to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you pray that prayer today, I believe that God instantly became your source. I believe today that salvation is yours. And there's some cars in the seat back behind you. If you said that prayer and you meet it and you want to connect with us today, you can scan that card and you can let us know so we can connect with you. Amen. Amen. Did y'all enjoy the word of the Lord today? Come on, clap your hands for God one more time. Amen. You can be seated.